Let us now share the gospel lesson for today from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11 through the 13th verse. Start with right at the beginning of chapter 11, 1 through 13. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus told them, "When you pray, say this: Father, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation." So he also said to them, "Imagine that one of you has a friend and that you go to that friend in the middle of the night. Imagine saying, 'Friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' Imagine further that he enters from within the house, that he answers from within the house, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything.' I assure you, even if he wouldn't get up and help because of his friendship, he will get up and give his friend whatever he needs because of his friend's brashness. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, whoever seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Which father among you would give a snake to your child if the child asked for a fish? If a child asked for an egg, would the father give the child a scorpion? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" This, brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Many of you will find our gospel lesson today very familiar, especially the part with the Lord's Prayer in it. Now, I read it from the Common English Bible, but I also read it from the Gospel of Luke. And the version that we say when we pray the Lord's Prayer together is Matthew's version, and there are some significant differences. And by the way, we usually use the King James version of Matthew's edition. So what you heard just now was Luke's version, and also in a little bit more contemporary language. I'd like for us to explore some of this together. Sometimes the things that are the most familiar to us bring danger because we go to them with presumptions about what we are going to hear. And sometimes it's really healthy to shake those presumptions up a little bit. When we find a text that is familiar, it's also a risk that we move too easily through it because we think we know what it says. One of the qualities of Scripture, God's Word to the people of the world, is that it almost always says more than we can possibly hear in a particular moment. That lingering feeling, as familiar as we might be with a particular text, that there is more there being said than what we can get. This is true of most of the familiar passages. Today we have a passage which surprises some of us in its brevity, Luke's version. So, we don't just read Scripture and go on. We pray Scripture. We study Scripture. We dwell on it and even preach it. And we do that again and again. Sometimes we say the Lord's Prayer again and again and again without really following the words with our thoughts. So let us wake up to the words that are in it, the parts of it. And that's what I'd like to share with you today. So let us pray. Lord, through the inspiring of Your Holy Spirit, please empower these moments of learning and teaching, of praying and preaching, of finding and reaching Your children with Your grace. Amen. So the parts of the Lord's Prayer. It begins with praise. The word hallowed is a King James word. Sometimes we don't use that word much anymore unless we're thinking about Halloween. But the real meaning of that was All Hallows' Eve, the Eve of All Saints' Day. And the word hallowed literally means make that holy. So the prayer begins with Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Holy be Thy name. Worshipped be Thy name. Cared for be Thy name. It's often true in our world that people don't care much for that name. And they use the name carelessly or even slanderously. And that is never appropriate. The prayer begins with praise, with an acknowledgement that God's name is holy and cared for. And it continues with petitions, or that's a fancy prayer word of saying requests. But in this context of this prayer, it's less of a shopping list and more of a conversation. And then the third part is the doxology or the worship that comes at the end. And Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that's the structure of the prayer. It begins with praise and ends with acknowledgement of worship with some petitions in between. And I'd like for us to explore this a little bit more. It begins with the admonition or the address, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And then comes the first petition, which should be our ultimate prayer. Thy kingdom come, Thy reign come, Thy will be done. And by reign, I mean the R-E-I-G-N, like a kingly reign. The reign of God's goodness and mercy and power in our world. And then it gets to the timely part, now and in the future, on earth as it is in heaven. It's a prayer of providence. God, give us this day our daily bread, the food that we need each day. We tend to kind of hoard things. But if we follow this prayer and its logic, we understand that Jesus was reminiscing about the people of Israel when they had manna from heaven, when they were wandering in the wilderness. And every day the manna came. And by the end of the day, if they hadn't eaten it all, they couldn't keep it because it would spoil before the next morning. The only exception to that was on the eve of the Sabbath, there would be 2 days' portions so that they could eat on the day before the Sabbath and on the Sabbath without having to do the work of going out and gathering the manna. Other than that one exception, it was a daily thing, a daily diet. And I think that's important in our prayers as well. Jesus says, give us this day our daily manna, our daily bread, the food that we need each day. And that's not just about what we need for our stomachs or our mouths. It's what we need for our spirits. We have to stay in contact on a daily basis with God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, with the gift and the life of grace that flows through them to us and through us to the world. The next petition is about grace. It's about forgiveness. Forgive us as we have forgiven others. Now, that's a little bit different than some of our usual presumptions. It's not forgive us so we can forgive others. It is not we forgive others so therefore we deserve to be forgiven too. But it is a concurrence there. It is forgive us as we forgive others. So we can dare not go to God and ask for forgiveness when we are holding a grudge against someone else who needs our forgiveness. Forgive us as we also forgive. I think the as there means that those are happening at the same time. Forgive us as we forgive. The grace of forgiving. And the last petition is one of deliverance. One of asking for guidance and for hope, for direction. It's lead us not into temptation. Not that God would lead us there into temptation. But we lead ourselves there sometimes in our lives and in our living. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Don't let us yield to it. Don't let us fall off the path. And then this doxology, which is in Matthew's version, but not in Luke's that we read today, is thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. That's called a doxology. It's an act of praise. It's an act of worship to close the prayer. It's an appropriate way to end any prayer. It's as if we are saying, God, no matter whether you answer, whether you do these things for us that we're asking for, no matter whether you do or not, we still praise you. And yours is the kingdom. You are the king. Yours is the power and the glory forever and ever. So Matthew's follow-up to this prayer is that forgiving others is a pre-model for being forgiven. God's forgiving precedes ours. When we are forgiven, it's not because we have forgiven others and we deserve to be forgiven ourselves. It is because we need to experience forgiveness and grace in order to pass it on and in order to let go of the things that have plagued us and that have worn us out. Matthew continues to follow up with other things after this prayer. For example, where Jesus says, take care of yourselves when you fast so you don't just bring attention to your fasting. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for your heart will follow what you treasure or value the most. That is profound. The things that we treasure the most, our heart will pursue. So that is reason enough to put God's reign, God's world, God's kingdom first. So that is what we treasure and that is what we follow. He also says, still with Matthew, be careful to follow the light, because darkness that pretends to be light is very deep darkness, and no one can serve two masters. Either you love one and hate the other, or you hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve two masters. Luke's follow-up to the presentation of the Lord's Prayer is different. Jesus follows up this teaching of the Lord's Prayer with a teaching about prayer, saying you go to a friend's house at midnight and ask for food for your guests. It's about our persistence. We keep on asking, seeking, and knocking. If anybody has ever worked in sales, you know that that's what matters. You just keep knocking on another door. You persist. And if we persist asking, seeking, and knocking, then the door will be opened. The door of God's grace and empowerment of that grace to make us faithful. Next, Luke continues to speak of God's faithfulness. Fathers, give good gifts. So if your fathers do so, then how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts? We'll even give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for Him. There's a hopeful passage from Hosea that I'd like to just leave you with. It is, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning if we just keep knocking at the door. Both Matthew and Luke teach us that persistence matters, that we keep doing it. We cannot ever take our discipleship for granted. We can't take our faithfulness for granted. We can't even take God's grace for granted because we can step out of it. We can step aside from it. God's grace will seek us, but if we reject it, we do have that freedom. God answers our prayers and wants to give good gifts. We spend time daily in prayer and keep pursuing our relationship with the Father. Jesus says all these things have to be done daily because the food that you expect isn't going to last. You expect your daily bread and the food that we need each day. If we keep praying daily, and praying is talking, it's pouring out what we need, what we want, what we hope, what we're afraid of, and then it's listening, soaking it up. Both of those parts have to be in place, and I think they have to be equal. Too many times we say our prayers and then we say amen and quit and go on about with whatever else we had planned to do. If we say our prayers, pour our hearts out to God, and then listen for an equal number of minutes, an equal amount of time, then we will find ourselves soaking up some of God's grace that we've missed before. God's faithfulness is there for us when we are faithful and when we claim it. Don't discount the simplicity of this Jesus prayer and don't take it for granted. Don't simply say the Lord's Prayer, but rather pray the Lord's Prayer because words matter. Creation from the beginning was spoken into being. Words had an effect, especially God's words. Our words matter too, that we use good words, words of blessing and not of cursing. Jesus said, pray like this, with the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer, we call it, to make it your aim never to just say it, but always to pray it. Yeah. It's an ancient prayer. It is ancient. But eating and sleeping are ancient too. Recreation and, well, procreation are ancient also from the beginning. And yet it still seems like we're good with all of those things. So let us claim and cherish praying the Jesus Prayer as well. Today is the time for you to trust Christ in a new way, or perhaps for the very first time, to genuinely put your faith and confidence and hope in Him. Then the altar is open for your expression of that, or simply for your prayer to come and make your own repair with Christ. Let us come praying as He has taught us to do.
Our hymn of response, hymn number